Hello and welcome to a chilly but sunny Thursday morning in Schenectady, New York. I am Drew Busney, back with you for our third episode of Season 2. Today we talk about the Patriots, their absolutely terrible decision to start Drake May next week against the Texans. We talk a lot about the other Patriots struggles. We talk college football. And if we have time, we will talk about golf. All that coming up on today's episode of The Drew Busney Show. And with that, I want to welcome you in to WRUC 89.7, the first station in the nation, live from beautiful Union College in Schenectady, New York. And we're just going to start with the breaking news that came out just 2 days ago. The Patriots announcing that Drake May will start this Sunday against the 4-1 Texans, 1 p.m. Gillette Stadium. And wow, I'm pissed. There's nothing really to say other than that this decision angers me. Because we talk so much about when you draft a quarterback, especially in the top three, especially when you draft him in the top three, that quarterback is your future quarterback. This is who you expect to bring you to Super Bowls, to win rings, to bring to the playoffs, to have a winning record. And the key to that is developing this player. Making sure that when they step on the field to do that and to be the future of the team, they are in a position that's going to succeed themselves. And if we want to use a comparison, we look at Mac Jones, because originally Mac Jones had that goal. He was supposed to be the future quarterback after Tom Brady. But we destroyed his development. We destroyed his confidence. Part of it was, to me, the Boston sports media. Part of it was the coaching we had around him. And part of it is what we have with Drake May is the roster construction. The roster the New England Patriots have is not one of a winning team. We have an O-line who the majority of them have barely played, together at least, maybe in general, and are playing positions they've really never played before. And you're throwing them against good defenses. The Texans this week is a good defense. They have good players. They have last year's Defensive Player of the Year. And so you're throwing a bad O-line against a great O-line. Most of our defensive players are hurt, and even when they're out there, we're above average, and our offense doesn't have a superstar on it. Maybe you could argue Drake May is going to be that superstar when he plays, but we don't really have a superstar X-factor wide receiver. We have good tight ends, I'll give them that, and our running backs are decent. But the big thing there is the offensive line. Because at the end of the day, most quarterbacks are ruined when they get hit. And by putting Drake May out there, that's exactly what's going to happen. And so my fear is that we're going to put Drake May behind that offensive line, that terrible offensive line, and he's going to endure 40 hits on Sunday. And then his confidence is going to be ruined. He's going to be like Mac Jones, and he's not going to be able to step through a throw. He's going to be on his back foot. He's going to toss it up as he fades away from getting a hit, and it's just going to ruin it. And I don't know what it is. Maybe people have this some sort of belief that they want this one season to be good and they don't really care about the future, but we drafted Drake May for the future, so maybe think about why we drafted him, and it was for the future. We want Drake May to win us Super Bowls. We weren't really expecting him to win us a Super Bowl this year. We weren't really even expecting him to play, let alone at week six. And so I just think this is just a dumb decision. I really don't get it. It's not smart for the team. Let him develop in practice. Get through the year. See how an NFL year goes. Because there's so much more to it other than just playing. There's so many logistics around it, environments around it, things that you have to get used to that you don't notice in college. So, excuse me. I just do not understand why he's playing. I just don't get it. I don't see the upside to it. What are the positive impacts of him playing? Because think about it. Even if we win 3 more games and we go 4-12, we still have a bad pick. And so if you're still going to have a bad pick, why don't you want the 1 pick over the 6 pick? Because who cares that you won 3 more games? It's not going to mean anything. It's not like you're making the playoffs. And even if we go 8-8, we're not making the playoffs. So what is the point of becoming an average team, and maybe a 500 team when we're a 1-4 team now? There's no upside. We are not going to make the playoffs. Even by putting Drake May in, the outcome of this season is still a horrible one. It's still a losing record one, maybe at best a 9-8 one. So again, what is the point to it? Just take the bad season as it is, because it's going to be no matter what. Get a good pick, draft some players, make some off-season acquisitions, and then put Drake May in. Do not ruin his future for the idea that you can somehow have a good season this year when you can save him to have a good season next year and the years after that. And I think this all goes back to the coaching. It goes back to Drake May. Because if you think about it, under Bill Belichick the past couple years, we've only really had a bad roster. That was always the complaint. Why are we not adding? Why do we have bad players? And I always thought the coaching was good. I always thought we came in with a good game plan, and we just didn't have the players to execute it to the standard that we needed it to win the games. But under Jerod Mayo, not only do we have a bad roster, we have bad coaching. There are blatant mistakes in the coaching that affect the game, that add to why we lose. It's also the fact that we have terrible players, but the bad coaching adds to it and makes us lose by more. We get blown out more. If you look at last year when we lost, a lot of times it was, you know, we would hold the team to 6 points and we would just score nothing. We were close games that were low scoring because we had good coaching. But now we get blown out because we have bad coaching, because Robert Kraft decided that he was going to hire Jerod Mayo on purely vibes. He wasn't going to sit back and look, who is the best coach for this team? And no offense to you, Robert Kraft, it's Bill Belichick. And he should have found a way to relieve Bill Belichick of his GM duties or find a way to help him. Because personally, I think Elliot Wolf is being about an average GM. He made a couple acquisitions, and you know, not enough. But I think the combination of a GM and Bill Belichick, that would have been the future. That would have been a recipe for success. Because I don't think Bill Belichick was worn out and didn't know what he was talking about anymore. I just think he struggled in the roster building and the drafting. And I think if we somehow got something, we somehow even tried and attempted to work towards a situation to fix the roster construction, Bill Belichick would have led us to another Super Bowl. But instead, we decided to fire him. We decided to hire Jerod Mayo, who is terrible, who has shown no glimpse of his ability to coach this team. We always talk about errors in life, errors that add to it aside, like external factors that are errors. And right now, Jerod Mayo is costing his team wins in the coaching. If he coached better, you know, I'm not saying we would not be 1-4, but you know, we wouldn't be getting blown out every week. But Jerod Mayo needs a wake-up call. The whole coaching staff does. The only coach doing right now is Springer. Jeremy Springer. The special teams coordinator. The only one doing well. Fire everyone else. Gotta make a change. Fire him. I'm calling it right now. Jerod Mayo is not fit to be a head coach. Personally, I think he thinks this is a joke. And this is just, oh, la-di-la. Barbie land, I'm going to do what I want. I'm having fun. Everyone's going to listen to me. I'm the head coach of a football team. But he sucks. He's terrible. He doesn't deserve to have this position. I don't know why he was hired. Personally, he was not my top choice. But it was a mistake. And it's showing that he does not have the ability and the skill to be a head coach. It's terrible. Get him out of there. Don't start Drake May. Get him out of there. Fix these problems. I can yell about it all day, but they're never going to actually fix it because they are a terrible team and a terrible organization. They had a future and they are throwing it away. There was hope that in a year, Drake May was going to come in and we could be a winning team. And now, we are throwing that away. He's going to get hit. He's going to get ruined. He's going to have no confidence. And we're going to be back to step one where we need to draft a quarterback in the first couple picks. And it's just going to be this process over and over again because no one can realize we do not have a good team. It is not the quarterback's fault. Yes, Jacoby Brissett is not good, but at the end of the day, it's the offensive line's fault and the coaching's fault. It is not Brissett's fault. He got hit. He got back up. He was tough. He did everything for this team. It is not his fault. And so, why do we expect to put Drake May in and think all these problems are just going to go back to normal? Because they're not. And I'm going to sit here right now and say, even if we win, if the Texans, my viewpoint's not going to win, because it's probably going to be a lucky win. Just so stupid. But we're going to move on to, I just want to, you know, in between the two big segments, I just want to mention that the PGA Tour is in Utah right now, and if you haven't had a chance to go check that out, it quite possibly could be one of the most beautiful courses I've ever seen. I never really thought that it would be a PGA Tour venue because it just doesn't give the vibes that these other PGA courses do, but it is absolutely stunning. And if I were to go check it out, and wow, I don't really know what to say. It's like built into lava rocks or what, I don't really know the exact name of them, but some sort of lava volcanic rock. Absolutely stunning. If you have time, either watch this live if you're listening to this show today, or just head to YouTube, and search Black Desert Championship and just take a peek. It is absolutely stunning. But this is my chance to remind you that you are listening to WRUC 89.7 FM, the first station in the nation, live from beautiful Union College in Schenectady, New York. Again, my name is Drew Buzney. You are listening to The Drew Buzney Show, and we are going to wrap our show up today talking about the Bruins. Because that was a terrible, 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 terrible game. And I didn't realize it, but the goalie we had was the one we traded in the Linus Ullmark trade. And boy, what a rough showing. 6 goals. Jesus. 3-4 goals in the first period. Like, way to show that you can do something on this team. And I'm kind of pissed at Jeremy Swayman. It took you that long to sign a contract, and we're not even going to have you for opening day. And then we're going to get destroyed because the goalie we have to put in because you didn't want to sign a contract and you didn't want to show up is just going to let in a million goals. And we just didn't look like a team that was there to win, team that was there to fight. And I know it's only one game, so I'm not going to sit here and overreact. But there was just a general lack of energy, and I think maybe it starts from the goalkeeping because our goalkeeper was terrible. But the Bruins played today against our rivals, the Canadiens, in TD Garden. And I think we just have to see where it goes because I don't want to judge a season, especially such a long season on the first game. So it's something to keep an eye on. Are we going to be this sluggish team that doesn't really care? I mean, I don't know. But just on a side note, the jerseys they have this year I think are far worse than last year. I loved the throwbacks last year. But that's just a side note, being a little weirdo and trying to focus on the jerseys when I don't want to focus on how bad the team looked the other day. Because they just looked like they were a step behind. And maybe it was just going down to Florida, watching the banner getting raised. Because it happened when we went to Washington and we watched them raise their banner. We were still kind of sluggish. So maybe it's just that environment. Maybe when the Knicks come in, they'll be sluggish too when they watch us raise our 18th banner. Oh, I cannot wait for that. But the Celtics do open their home preseason slate this Saturday, 8 p.m. against the 76ers. Don't really want to talk about the preseason because at the end of the day, it is the preseason and it doesn't really matter. Our starters don't really start and there's just a lot of nobodies. But Celtics talk will come your way starting after October 22nd, after the first game of the year, after the banner raising. But it's a pretty short show today. I just want to talk about the Patriots, get on, share my thoughts about everything that's going on. And I want to wrap with just one thought I've been thinking about recently. And it goes to college football, and I bet most people saw that Vanderbilt beat Alabama and Arkansas beat Tennessee, and they both stormed the field, which is a amazing thing in college, which I absolutely love. I love that when you beat a good team and you upset them, you storm the field. But the SEC charges the teams for storming the field. Vanderbilt had to pay Alabama $100,000. Arkansas had to pay Tennessee $2,500, which I think is totally absurd. I believe that is a terrible rule. And I've said stupid so many times on this show today. For some reason, I just think everything has been stupid recently. You can laugh all you want if you think that's funny that I'm doing that, but it is a stupid rule. Why are we storming? Why are we fighting for storming? It's a great thing. You upset a team. Let them celebrate. I don't understand why we fight. I don't really remember people getting hurt because of it, at least like the Alabama players. Like, I get if the Vanderbilt students are going to be idiots. Like, that's another story, but it's not like they're going up to the Alabama players and like bashing their knees in. I really just don't understand it. I just want some clarification on why that's a rule, because it adds so much to the game. When you see all the students falling down to the front rows and then it goes, you know, the upset, and everyone's on the field. It's an amazing scene. It's so cool. And I get it can be dangerous, but it just... So then don't rush if you think it's dangerous. I just think it's a bad rule. I wish it didn't happen. But, you know, it's... To them, some of these schools, it's probably just pennies to them. So I guess keep doing it. But it's something I'm going to think about. It's something that's been on my mind recently. But other than that, I would like to thank you for joining me on today's episode of the Drew Buzney Show. I will see you all next week.